today's first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear of the very famous speech that St. Paul gave to the Athenians at the Areopagus. It really is indeed a master class in evangelization that St. Paul offers to them. The first significant part of his speech, which is worth pointing out, are the elements of enculturation that St. Paul places into it. Namely, he speaks to the Athenians at a level that they can understand, and he points to elements of truth and goodness that are already present within their culture, within their system of thought, which he is then going to take and try to purify and correct to be able to reorder them entirely to Christ. The two concrete examples in the speech which are given in that regard are, in the first place, the reference to the statue of an unknown god, that St. Paul recognizes that they are worshiping this unknown god. And so St. Paul wants to run with that a little bit and to say, what was heretofore unknown to you, I am now having the good news to proclaim to you that this unknown god has revealed himself to us. And now we know who he is, and therefore we also know how we should live our lives in relationship to him. So he takes their premonition, or the element of truth which is present, and then he fixes it and corrects it in Jesus and what has been revealed to him, and what was priorly unknown he now proclaims to them as being known. The second example is when St. Paul in the speech refers to their poets who speak about being the offsprings of God. And here too, St. Paul is going to capitalize to point out, although he doesn't say it explicitly in these words, but it certainly is the reference, that we in baptism are made into the adopted sons and daughters of God the Father. We become his offspring through the gift of baptism that we receive in our Savior Jesus Christ, and thereby we become offspring to an inheritance with our Heavenly Father. And so here, once again, we can see St. Paul taking an element of truth or a premonition which they have in their culture, in their belief system, and ultimately he purifies it and reorders it in Jesus Christ. And this for us is a good reminder that even in our evangelization efforts or conversations with others in different contexts, that it's always a good idea to be able to point to those elements of truth which are going to be present in any culture, to be able to know them, but then to be able to refer them properly or to order them properly toward Jesus Christ and what has been revealed in him. So following this example of enculturation which St. Paul gives, he then goes on to point out a very clear proclamation, which he does so with this gentle introduction, but in a very clear and decisive way, he tells them, God has revealed himself to us, and because of this, it is time for us to learn, to listen, to follow, and to repent of our former ways so that we can now live according to the newness of the revelation that has been given to us in Jesus Christ, whom God has raised from the dead as proof that this truly is the way that we are to follow toward eternal life. And so St. Paul, with the gentle introduction, he does give a very clear and decisive message. In other words, Paul knows that he has to be faithful to what has been revealed to him in Jesus Christ. And this too then is a great key for evangelization, to proclaim the kerygma of Jesus Christ sent by the Father, who suffered, died, and was risen for the dead to open up the pathway to heaven for us, that we have to be faithful to this truth and message which has been delivered and revealed to us in Jesus. The third part of today's speech, well, really it is the reaction to the speech, is also quite fascinating. And in the Acts of the Apostles, there are three very clear reactions to what Paul has just shared with the Athenians. And in spite of the brilliance of Paul's speech, in spite of how excellent it is, we're still going to see that the majority of people basically weren't so interested. One group of people, we're told, scoff at Paul when he speaks about the resurrection of the dead. They are not buying it and they want nothing to do with the message that he is sharing. The second group of people says, well, nice enough message, but perhaps we can hear you about this another time. In other words, they kind of put him off and they say, kind of interesting, but not enough for us to change anything and become disciples. which is also a kind of form of rejection. And then thirdly, there is some, we are told, who do in fact accept the message and come to follow. In this regard, given again that the majority rejected Paul's message despite what a good example of evangelization is, it reminds us too that in terms of evangelization and in terms of our own lives, success is not measured in the number of followers which are attained, but rather success is measured in fidelity to the message that has been revealed to us in Jesus and fidelity to sharing that same message with those to whom we propose and invite to come and know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the reason for this is quite simple. There are elements of conversion and discipleship which are utterly beyond the control of the one who is proclaiming. In the first hand, evangelization is always a work of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who prepares the hearts of the listeners. And therefore, even in the success of those who become followers, the Holy Spirit is still the primary agent in conversion. But secondly, we have to admit the free will that each and every one of us has been endowed gives us the freedom to respond or to not respond to the message that is being shared about Jesus Christ. And this ultimately comes down to an individual decision. And because of this, again, success in terms of evangelization is not ever measured by a numbers game. It is not ever measured by trying to compromise the truth of Jesus to fit as many people as possible. Rather, it is going to be measured by fidelity to the word that has been entrusted to us in our creative application and understanding of elements of truth present in cultures which can be properly ordered into the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we go forward today, let us ask God for the grace that we would always be proclaimers of the message in Jesus Christ entrusted to us, that we would never be discouraged by the seeming lack of success, which sometimes is apparent, and that we would always persevere and be faithful to the Lord. Amen.